Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Aura.
And I'm Caroline. Together, we are the Grimm Sisters.
Today, we're back after a hiatus because
we were
both sick.
For 100 years.
Yes. I think we need to, up our vitamin C because...
Yeah.
We're constantly hey guys, sorry, we were sick.
Aura had multiple things at one time. Yeah. I had surgery and then immediately got a stomach virus, so that was fun.
We're unreliable narrators.
Literally.
Anyways, so today we're back with an episode we think you guys will like, and it's a cryptid episode.
Yay.
Kind of.
We love covering cryptids as much as you guys like hearing about them, but this one is kind of like a toss-up on the cryptid scale.
And that's because it was actually a real animal until it was hunted to extinction.
Which makes me so sad.
Yeah.
But rumors still circulate that this creature is spotted occasionally, and whole search parties and scientific units have been sent out to find it, but unfortunately they have not been successful yet.
So, without further ado, the curious cryptid we'll be discussing today is...
The thylacine.
The thylacine.
Yeah. So we definitely need to start out with an overview of what this thylacine animal is and kind of a description of him. But this is kind of the hardest parts of the podcast for us because this guy is kind of weird.
First off, it's native to and was widespread over continental Australia, extending north into New Guinea and south into Tasmania. And related to this, before it went extinct in the 1930s, it was confined to Tasmania, where the species was best known from the north to east coast around the Midland Plains region. And it was actually unofficially named after Tasmania because it was called the Tasmanian tiger.
Yep.
So yeah, I kind of stayed in that area from the Midlands to the mountains of the southwest in Tasmania. Yeah.
Just to clarify that further, it had been extinct on the Australian mainland for a long time at this point. So it was really specific to Tasmania by the time of the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of Australian animals, the thylacine is classified as a marsupial, meaning that by definition, the young of the animal are carried to term and even after birth in a pouch on the mother's stomach. The thylacines actually had a back opening pouch where litters of pups, usually no more than four at a time, would develop and be carried even after birth, which is so cute.
I know. Even more interesting is the fact that the male thylacine also had a partial pouch for keeping the young while the mother was away. And something that I really like, because one of my favorite animals is the seahorse, because the male is the one that carries the babies.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, yes, equality. And, you know, we stand a supportive father literally carrying his young on his
back.
They
were precious little families. I love it. Seahorses and thylacines, the best.
Whenever I think of, the word marsupial, I just think of cute, fuzzy, small, little creatures.
Yeah.
And then you look up the thylacine and you're like,
whoa.
What the hell? You're like, what
is the teeth on this baby?
Is this Lupin from Harry Potter?
Yeah. And they're very hard to describe, too, because, if you spin a spinner on animal characteristics, the thylacine just looks like it landed on every single option.
It's like ultimate chaos.
It really is. It's a little bit of everything. And so it was often described with the nicknames of Tasmanian tiger or the Tasmanian wolf. And the reason it was called a Tasmanian tiger is because it literally has these sort of tiger stripes on its sort of back haunches.
Yeah.
You know, its back hips. And then it was called the Tasmanian wolf because it's got a wolf-like head and then very sharp teeth, of course. So it was a really interesting combination of characteristics. It's the only member of the Thylacinidae family to survive to modern times, but its ancestors and closely related species in the same family would likely look even more wild and weird to us.
Which is weird because the thylacine is already crazy.
But yeah.
I'm going to do my best to give you guys a description of the thylacine, but bear with me. And also I would definitely look it up because it's worth seeing.
He's really cute.
We're lucky we still have photographic evidence.
Yeah.
So thylacines usually range in color from brown to yellow and sometimes gray, but it notably always had around 15 to 20 distinct dark stripes across the back of it, which Caroline mentioned is why it's called the Tasmanian tiger. And its head was very dog or wolf-like, but to me, it has kind of, it almost looks like a bear.
Bears! In some ways.
Like, it gives me mangy bear vibes.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely mangy bear, though, not normal bear.
Yeah, mangy bear. And its tail was stiff, not very flexible, and its legs were, like, really short, and it had stiff, slow movements, but despite this, it was still able to run pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And its fur was, like, typically pretty cropped close to itself and coarse. And it had little short ears that stuck straight up and were pretty rounded. And as we mentioned, the jaws were really large and powerful. 46 teeth, really intense.
Yeah, basically combine like a hyena, a tiger, a bear, a fox, and a koala for the pouch and you get a thylacine. It's so weird.
Like Caroline and myself, the thylacine was, you know, it was pretty nocturnal.
Yeah.
And it would usually come out to hunt at night, but sometimes it would venture out during the day if it had to. But like we said, really wants to be out at night, like Caroline and I. So.
Yeah.
And they usually hunt alone or in pairs.
Also like us.
Yeah. We're either alone or we're together. That's it.
So they were carnivorous, and they preferred to hunt kangaroos and other marsupials, little rodents, birds, you know, just the typical sort of like critters. An Australian naturalist, Harry Burrell, published a series of photos of the thylacine feeding on domestic animals such as chickens, furthering false reports that thylacines preyed on sheep and poultry after European colonization brought them to Australia. And this wrongly painted the thylacine to be a serious predator to domestic animals, when if they did prey on those animals, it was because food was becoming really scarce due to overhunting and trading practices that the European immigrants were doing. So basically, they kind of got maligned by European immigrants that were moving to Tasmania. They're just living their lives, exactly. And we are encroaching on their lives, and then saying like, "Oh, you know, this animal is mean and vicious." And
I went into this creature's home and bothered it, and I was attacked, and this is wrong.
Yeah, it's like no, you are the bad one here. You did this to yourself.
So per usual, it always comes back to the European colonists stuff up.
Always. Yeah, so the exact reason for the extinction of the thylacine from mainland Australia, we don't really know why this happened. Part of it was definitely competition with the dingo, which is a wild dog native to Australia, and there's a case I want to cover eventually that has to do with dingoes.
Dingoes were introduced to Australia from Indonesian seafarers.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Very cool.
That's so interesting because, like, you always think of dingoes as being such a strictly like Australian thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't really think, I mean, I think of wild dogs elsewhere, but not dingoes specifically. But hunting pressure from humans also probably caused this a little bit. Its decline and extinction was probably hastened by the introduction of dogs, but appears mainly due to direct human persecution as an alleged pest.
And we have the great guy, Harry Burrell, to thank for this.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah. It
kind of ended up, you know, it had all these colonists hating this animal, and so they were essentially shot on sight, and they're often stuffed for the fact that they weren't necessarily the usual animal you would see, especially for these European colonists.
Yeah.
So there's actually quite a few thylacines that are still taxidermied, although I think they're slowly dissipating.
I'm sure,
like they break apart and stuff, but... So really the last known sighting, or at least the last confirmed scientific sighting, was in 1930 when one was captured in Tasmania. And then that thylacine specifically, after it died, was officially cleared distinct in 1936.
Yeah. So what's really sad about this, but also kind of cool, is that the last known thylacine died in a zoo in Tasmania. And his name was Benjamin, and he lived at the Hobart Zoo in Tasmania. And then he died on September 6th, 1936. And there's actually quite a bit of footage and photograph of him out there on the internet. Obviously, it's all in black and white, but you can see him walking around. You can see him opening his mouth and showing just like the massive way that they were able to like open their mouths.
It's like snake jaws.
Yeah, they literally have snake jaws. Oh my gosh, that's another creature they are.
Yeah.
They have snake jaws. They can open their mouths so wide, just enormous. And so he's, you know, opening his mouth and giving these huge yawns. And it's just, it's really cute, but also sad because he's in a cage.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, it's so sad.
I feel sad like the last creature. They didn't even let it, like, survive out in the wild. They were just like, let's keep it in a cage for
entertainment.
Yes. Which pisses me off so much when humans, like, I don't know. Like, I think there's an issues with speciesism with humans. And It's like the inability to process animals as their own creatures with like sentience, I guess.
Yes, and like feelings. And, you know, like they feel pain and they feel all of these things, which actually really goes into this because it says here that Benjamin probably died as a result of neglect. He was basically kept from his like sleeping quarters and was exposed to pretty extreme weather. It was extremely hot during the day and then really, really cold at night, like freezing. And obviously that's not good. And so basically he just got, you know, I guess to a point where this really took a toll on him. And it just really makes me sad and really angry. Because, I mean, the thing is, at this point, they knew that people were no longer seeing these in the wild.
Yeah.
So it's like they knew that this was going extinct and they just, I guess, didn't care.
Despite the fact that, you know, the last known thylacine died in 1936 with all this evidence, we have a lot of scientists saying that it's more likely that the last one went extinct in 1990s or 2000s.
Yeah.
And I'm like very confused by that. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have this whole cryptid craze and this whole like cryptid hunter type thing where these people are like going crazy for the thylacine and they're like, all of these spottings of it. Like, yeah. I saw a thylacine. The thylacine's still around. Literally March 3rd of 2021, this guy apparently released pictures of a thylacine he had taken. I'm sorry. It looks like a kitten.
Either way, I love it. I love kittens, and I love cryptids. So, you know.
It looks like a kitten. And he's over here like, scientists want DNA proof that it's alive. And I was like, well, yeah, that's pretty much how you confirm something's still not extinct.
But just to, like, go on that, like, apparently in 1983, media mogul Ted Turner, I feel like most people heard of Ted Turner, he offered a $100,000 reward for proof of the continued existence of the thylacine. So all of these, like, efforts to find another thylacine have been going on since, like, at least the 80s. And then by 2000, it was withdrawn because nobody found it. And that was, you know, a long time it happened in between there. And then in like 2005, there was an Australian magazine called The Bulletin that offered a $1.25 million reward for a safe capture of a live thylacine. And then nobody ever was able to claim it. And then a $1.75 million reward has been offered by a Tasmanian tour operator named Stuart Malcolm. The problem with this is that trapping is illegal under the terms of the thylacine's protection, because if the thylacine does exist, then of course it's like an extremely endangered species and is heavily protected. So any reward made for the capture is completely like illegal.
Null and void.
You would be in big trouble if you captured a thylacine. So please don't do that. Please, please don't do that, even if you need the money.
I mean, like, I'm very doubtful they would find one, but if our listeners happen to find a thylacine, maybe just let them chill. But anyways, like we said, like, there's entire Facebook groups. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. And one of them, the president of the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia, his name is Neil Waters, and he's the one that said he had the pictures of the thylacine itself. And, like, all these biologists came out and were like, it's probably a pademelon, which is, like, this little, cute little...
tiny little creature.
Marsupial from Australia. And he replied saying, scientists are lazy and they want DNA. They don't want to get calipers out and do measurements and the hard science.
What?
They used to do identifications without DNA for many, many years. I was like, sir, the hard science is DNA, out a ruler and measuring how big a paw pad is.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, my dude. I mean, I guess the thing is, on some level, he is correct that you can't find the thylacine without going out into the wilderness and looking for it. But also, the most conclusive way to prove it is not by just, it's not even just by taking a picture. You have to get the DNA. And actually, there's this really great show that I saw. I think it came on Animal Planet or National Geographic. I can't remember. But it was just called Extinct or Alive. And it follows this guy who has his whole life had this desire to go and, like, find some species that's thought to be extinct that isn't.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole show. Every episode, he goes and hunts for some species that, you know, people insist they keep seeing even though it shouldn't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And he did an episode on the thylacine and he didn't find anything. But there are at least two episodes that I've seen where he does find the creature that he's looking for. In one part, I think it was like maybe a leopard that was supposed to be extinct. It was some sort of big cat. I can't remember which kind. But he did find it. He found like obvious, undeniable footage of it. There's another one where he's looking for some sort of primate. Again, obvious, undeniable footage of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really amazing. But the thing is, if you actually look those creatures up online, then it'll say like, oh yeah, this team found, you know, a picture of one, but it's inconclusive or whatever. And it's,
yeah.
I think it's just because they don't have the physical evidence. They just have visual evidence. Mm-hmm. And so for all we know, that animal died now.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
But again, in order for them to get physical evidence, it means interacting with the animal.
Which isn't like, safe for yeah. the animal or for people. So especially with like the big cat.
I would rather have it be inconclusive yeah. than mm-hmm. like have them possibly in danger or
oh, for sure. Yeah. Something. Like I don't want to scare them, you know?
But yeah, anything. Like we said, there's just like there's thousands of these groups. They have maps where like all the known sightings mm-hmm. are like recorded. And they honestly all cluster around a certain area of Australia. It's all around like the southern edge of Australia. For the amount of sightings, it seems like it would be more credible. But to be honest, the fact that like he posted pictures of like some type of little marsupial or like a baby kitten or something, I'm yeah. like,
I don't know if I trust this.
And he also is like, what does he say? He said that he funds his efforts through his personal savings, throwing away his career and a full-time job as a horticulturist in Adelaide to pursue this passion. And I just wonder what his life would be like if he hadn't done that.
Yeah.
Just
like, I feel like it would be easier.
Yeah, just
don't just do curious. That, my dude.
Just what's going on?
I'm looking at a video that somebody took. I think I'd seen it before, but this is the first time I've seen it in a long time. And basically, it's from 2016, and these people captured in their neighborhood, like it with houses, what mm-hmm. they think is a thylacine. It definitely looks like what I've seen, but it's obviously pretty blurry just because, like, I think they kind of took the video and then had to zoom way in on the thylacine, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. So it's not super clear, but the back legs of it does look like the thylacine. You can see the tail and, like, how the tail is kind of stiff and marsupial-like.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
I wish they didn't go so, like, slow because I feel like it tampers with the...
Yeah.
It really does look...
Especially, like, in the back, like, the back portion.
Yeah.
It's really where you can see it really well.
For a lot of hoaxes, it's hard to do because, like, you can't get a creature necessarily that has the same...
Gait. Yeah.
And the same, like, length of the arms and the legs and the tail.
Yeah.
Or, like, the tail is obviously fake, but...
And the tail on this thing, too, I think is really special because it, I don't want to say it sticks up because I feel like that suggests that it is like sticking straight up in the
yeah.
air. It just sort of sticks out,
yeah.
right? Like it's, you know, like a dog, you know, his tail will sort of like flowy, mm-hmm. right? You know, it moves, it bends and, you know what I'm yeah. trying to say. I'm not describing this well, but thylacine's tail is kind of stiff.
Yeah. Like lab tails, I would say, are like stiffer
but they're
like
for dog breeds,
but they're still flexible.
Yeah.
So I would say like even more stiff than a lab tail mm-hmm. and you have basically yeah. a thylacine.
It literally and the just tail's longer, sticks but. Out like from his body.
Yeah. This is one of the topics that we've covered that I wouldn't disagree with the fact that it could still be alive.
Oh, yeah. I think the thing, too, that's really difficult is that because the thylacine does look like so many other animals and have so many, like, you know, what we describe as, like, this combination of stuff mm-hmm. going on with it, it is really easy probably to mistake, like, a bunch of different animals for it.
Yeah.
And like the video I was just talking about where I said, oh my gosh, that looks like a thylacine. It could totally be a fox or a dog.
Yeah,
it could
even be dogs probably that look exactly like this thing.
Yeah. If a kangaroo walked in a certain way, you know, sort of like leaning down, I could even see that potentially being.
If certain dingoes had certain markings,
yeah.
I could imagine it being convincing enough.
Right.
But
there's this video that again also really, really looks like a thylacine. This creature looks like a dog, but it's something about the way it's walking. Like, I've never seen a dog walk like this before, but it's just like this thing running around in the field and the way that it walks.
This thing is so cute.
I know, right? But like, what is that? Like, you know how it kind of, it like bounces?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is the thylacine, it bounces a little bit similar to a kangaroo. It has like this hopping ability.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm wondering if this is a kangaroo, like a baby kangaroo that's injured or something.
It could be. I don't know.
It's arms and legs look the same length, which
is definitely. Kangaroos have like people hands, people arms. They have like little, they have like T-Rex arms. This is extremely convincing, I think.
Yeah.
I honestly am really surprised that this hasn't, like, I know I've watched some, like, documentaries over the years of things related to the thylacine, and the footage that they always include is really questionable, you know? But this is not questionable to me.
This thing looks so cute, though.
It does. Whatever it is. If it's a dog, a wolf, or a thylacine, it's adorable. And I really do think it's a thylacine. It's so cute. We'll link this video, I think, because this is like the most convincing thing like that I've ever seen. Usually with stuff like this, I'm just like, oh yeah, that could have been anything. But this, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not unconvinced that they couldn't be alive still.
Yeah.
I just think, because even the ones we do see, we don't necessarily see the as dark of markings on them.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's been some type of interbreeding or, like, interbred with dingoes or something. And it's almost, like, not necessarily a thylacine, but, like, an offshoot or something.
Yeah, like a subspecies. Seriously, if you guys have enjoyed this episode, I really encourage you to, like, give a good, like, Google search of it and watch videos. Because if you're not convinced, I think you will be.
I would say we're pretty skeptical people. Right?
Yeah, both of us, for
sure. Some of this is like...
I am surprised that people are skeptics about the thylacine after seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm not an expert, so I'm just a podcaster. Also, the Tasmanian coat of arms features thylacines.
Oh, it does?
It does, yeah. I just saw that on the Wikipedia that I had opened to find something.
They're like, we will not forget you.
Yes. There's also a lot of really pretty naturalist, like, drawings of thylacines. There was one I found earlier. We'll have to put it in the Instagram post. But it was really beautiful. It was really sweet. Just showed them as, like, furry babies.
I know they're not as reliable, but I almost prefer when we have, like, naturalist drawings versus, like, just photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's something beautiful about, like, humans trying to capture...
that art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well... this episode took a turn.
It did take
which,
a turn.
You know, we shouldn't be surprised by considering
they
how
all
we
do.
Are.
They all take a turn.
They
every
all
single
take
episode
a turn.
Takes a turn.
So, yeah, with that, we will do our wrap up.
For sure.
Now that we've talked about everything about the thylacine.
Everything under the sun. Yes.
Per usual, you can find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We'd especially like if you followed us and leave us a really nice 5-star review on iTunes. We would love that. You can also subscribe to us on Spotify, and you can follow us basically, like we said, anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
And you can follow us on Patreon and support us there, which we would love for you to do. Also, if you go on Anchor, you can leave us a voice message. Just let us know any thoughts that you might have about the thylacine or our podcast. We would love to hear from you. That would be super cool and fun.
Of course, you can find us on all social medias, basically, like, we're everywhere, you can't escape us, on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, we're at Wicked Weird and Grim, and on Twitter, we're just at Wicked Weird Grim, and we'd love it if you'd follow us there, interact with us, we're always looking to talk to you guys.
Yep.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank
we
you so much.
We had a fun time talking about the thylacine and everything else we weren't supposed to talk about. And we will get back on track with recording now that we are all nice and well and healthy again.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters.
Bye. Bye guys. I did wave. Oh my gosh, what the heck?
Jesus Christ.
What was that?
I don't know.
What just happened?
It's your phone.
I know. I don't know where that came from.
I forgot how hard this is.
It's so hard to talk. Why? We talk all of our lives until, and then we get in the room and we're just like, no.
Wait, Lupin? Lupus.
Lupin.
Lupin.
Yeah, Lupin.
Lupin. Welcome back, guys.
Oh, this is so cute. What is it?
It's called a patamelon.
I think I've heard of those.
And they're like little marsupials.
Yes.
But people have, for some reason, mistaken them for...
Like wombats?
Thylacines.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. They don't even look like a thylacine. They're so cute. Something about them reminds me of like a grape. Is that weird? There's something about them that's like grape shaped.
They look like they just swallowed one huge grape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're super cute. I love them. Oh my goodness. Okay. Thylacines are so cute. I love them. I want to pet them. I don't think they would like it if I did, but
I love how literally every cryptid we cover,
we just want to pet them.
Exactly.
We want to pet and adopt them. Too, on people who podcast about this stuff.
People are like, we're alone. You have the monster fuckers and then you have the monster cuddlers. And yes, we're the monster cuddlers. We're like, I want to pet it and love it and tell it that it's wanted and that it's beautiful. There's literally thylacine dog coats that people are putting on their dogs. And then people are wondering, I wonder if someone saw that and was like, a thylacine. Or even like, this is Neil Waters.
What?
The second video that you posted, the guy talking is Neil Waters.
Who's that?
The guy I just talked about.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe. Please edit out that I didn't remember his name. I think I was looking for videos when you were talking, and so I was like, oh, I didn't catch his name. And like one time my mom and I were watching something and I guess they were talking about the Donner Party. And I said to my mom, I was like, if we're ever in this situation, please eat me. Don't feel bad about it. And she was like, don't worry, I will. It's like, okay, kid, I'll eat you too.
Just like the little conversations between a daughter and a mother.
I know, right?
Just please eat me. Please resort to cannibalism.
Yes. Manatees, which are one of my favorite animals in the world.
Manatees are so sweet.
Yeah.
Little sea cows.
I know, I love them. I love
how sailors were literally like,
that's a mermaid.
That's a woman.
Yeah.
I'm like, a manatee.
Okay.
Sure.
She doesn't look anything like any girl I know, but whatever you say.
Alrighty. They've been out at sea so long, they're like, that there is a woman. Everyone else is like,
they're just like completely delusional.